This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, September 7th. Well, I'm back in the saddle here, but still feeling a little rusty after not really paying too much attention to the markets over the last few sessions, but I'll give it my best shot here. So we see that the market basically over the last week or so has been still chopping sideways, kind of hovering at some important lows that were put in earlier in the summer. Now, we broke below those lows here last week, and then we quickly came back above them. So that was clearly very important. The market probably flushed out whatever week longs there were remaining, and now that it has found the buyers down here. So I think we can lean pretty hard into the notion that we have carved out our seasonal lows. It's probably going to form a significant large double bottom and the bottom end of a trading range that I think the market will be in for a while. So that was encouraging to see the market snap back fairly quickly, and it needed to do that if it was going to find any kind of stability at all. And it appears that that has been the case. Now, we've got some issues going on, of course, Russia throwing out a hint that maybe it would come back into the grain corridor. Well, that's not going to happen. They keep saying that they want all of their demands met. Well, none of them are going to be met. So they're not going to come back in the grain corridor. I don't think that's a huge surprise. But the market was kind of hoping to see some progress there. So they're still bombing Ukraine ports. I don't know why Ukraine would even want to negotiate with them at all. But we are seeing more damage. Appears that some pieces of a Russian drone fell into Romania. And, of course, they're a NATO country. I don't think that's going to suck the entire NATO into the war. But, Russia needs to be careful, obviously, because they are a NATO country. Also, some interesting reports coming out of Russia that they are running low on fuel, and there is concern about them being able to finish their grain harvest and get their winter crops planted. So that's certainly important, but we'll see how far that goes. But, there are some groups wanting the government to stop exports of refined crude products so they have enough supply at home. Well, that would make the most sense, but the Russian government needs the money at the same time. So we'll just have to see what happens there. We're also seeing some reports that there was a private deal done between grain sellers or wheat sellers out of Russia and a private grain company, Solaris, that they sold some grain at the 270 floor price, but it included insurance and freight costs. So, Russia's not competing, and apparently the government is being insistent that 270 is the floor price. Well, earlier Egypt, just a few days ago, Egypt bought some wheat from Romania and France, 120,000 tons each, for a FOB price of 260. So, my feeling had been that Russia is going to pretty much step aside this 270 floor and compete at whatever price will clear the trade, as they've done always in the past. Well, it appears that the government is insisting on this 270 floor, so private grain companies are, using loopholes to get around that. And the Russian government is not happy about that, so they're actually starting to cancel some sales. They didn't say specifically if it was the Solaris sales. I would imagine it would be, but I don't know that for sure. So an interesting development there that the Russian government is really laying down the law here and holding to it. I would think eventually that's going to offer pretty solid floor support as well. In the meantime, Europe is capturing a lot of business. And, they've got a pretty decent sized crop. They have stuff to move, but so does Russia. And Russia needs the money. So they're losing out on very important sales to Egypt. So we'll see how long this 270 floor price lasts, because it's not just a money thing or a revenue generator thing. It's a pride issue that Russia is the primary provider of Egyptian wheat. And so I'm really curious to see how long they will endure not being able to be the main supplier. There's also some talk that they are in negotiations with Turkey to supply a million tons of cheap wheat to sent to Turkey so Turkey can mill it into flour to give to the African countries. So that's Russia's, overture of humanitarian causes. We'll see. We'll see if Turkey takes that. It looks like that's going to happen, but I think this gets into a pretty big gray area with Turkey being a member of NATO, but they're also close allies with Russia, and they've not really leaned very hard on Russia, especially when it comes to the grain corridor. They could be doing a lot more, but they're not. And, they're kind of quasi-supporting Russia in this war, it seems to me. So it's, again, a big gray area. But that's probably going to happen just on the excuse of it being a humanitarian issue. So a couple of the things, Abair out of Australia has lowered their wheat production estimate another 800,000 tons. So they're sitting at 25.4 million tons, which is 3.5 million below where USDA last had them and is significantly below last year's record crop of 39.7 million tons. So it's 14.3 million tons less than last year, which is a drop of 36%. So we're looking at a huge shift in Australian production. Now, of course, this is because of El Nino, which is going to typically brings dry conditions to Australia, and that has certainly been the case so far this crop year. September is a critical month for setting yields for wheat in Australia, and it's been very dry up until this point, and the forecast, at least for the next 2 weeks, continues dry. So Australia, after three boomer crop years, now has come back around into El Nino and looking like El Nino is really going to come through again this year. La Nina came through very well for Australia, which typically brings more rain. And again, they had three bumper crops. Now it's the table has turned again, and looks like it's going to be a significantly lower production year for Australia. At the same time, El Nino tends to bring more rain to Argentina. That has not been the case so far. It is bringing a lot more rain to southern Brazil, where that wheat crop is under significant flooding and pressure, and they're already worried about quality issues out of Brazil. But in Argentina, they have not seen those rains, and it's still looking fairly dry. So they're probably on track for a disappointing year again. But for them, they've had 3 years in a row of very poor crops. Normally, El Nino would change that, but so far that has not been the case. In Brazil, they are lowering wheat production estimates by about 200,000 tons at this point. They're sitting at 10.2 million tons. And again, that's largely due to the flooding issues that they've had. For corn, they raised corn production 2 million tons at 131.8 million tons, but they left exports unchanged at 50 million tons. Soybean production they left unchanged at 154.6 million tons. Exports they raised 1.3 million tons to 96.9. So Brazil has just had some monster crops, and they have just dominated exports, and they still are at this point when it comes to corn, as that crop's just wrapped up harvest of a huge second season corn crop. And that was part of the pressure spilling over into the U.S. But for here, we had very good weather during pollination, and for corn especially. For soybeans, for the most part, it was good, but it's been dry and hot since then. And it seems like the private guys are starting to ratchet down soybean yields just simply because of the extended dryness and the stress to the crop as it finishes up the growing season. And one other thing, the European ban on imports of Ukrainian wheat, or all grain for that matter, ends on September 15th. But many of these Eastern European countries want them to extend that ban. And if they don't, they're talking about imposing their own bans. Now, this doesn't apply to grain passing through the country to export facilities. It's just that Ukraine has, the grain has had a tendency to get stuck in those countries and kind of get dumped onto the local markets and pressuring prices and hurting their own farmers. That's what they're trying to protect, and that's understandable. But as far as exports, Romania has been a huge help. Poland, many other countries have contributed to getting Ukraine grain to export facilities and getting it moved into the world pipeline. So moving forward, here we are early September. The market has just been beat to a pulp, but we are holding at those key supports. And I think that we are turning the corner. Quickly, the market's going to have to respond to poor weather conditions in the Southern Hemisphere. Normally, we get a fall rally from a seasonal perspective into early October. I would expect that we'll at least have that. And if the weather conditions don't improve in Argentina and Australia, my guess is that the fall rally will extend beyond early October. Major exporter supplies are relatively tight. Stocks to use are near record lows. It's just that we have a huge Russian crop that has dominated world trade, and a big European crop that is taking over as the Russians are trying to provide a floor price that's higher than world price. Ultimately, though, I think as you get into later in the fall and into the winter, supplies get a lot tighter. And with the issue in Brazil, they're probably going to have to import some high-quality wheat. And I think that's why Kansas City was stronger yesterday than the other markets. It's, they're going to be coming for high pro or, milling grade hard red winter wheat. Well, if it's not coming from Russia or Argentina, it's got to come from the United States. And we don't have a lot of that to export. So KC will probably be the leader to the upside. And I think we'll continue to hold a very large premium to Chicago. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.